much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Hey, fellas, knock off all that high society crap and play some of this.
1, 2, 3, 4.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hey, Joe, you're going to want to hear this, man. You're dying to hear this. I'm changing my name to Bob Toe. So what do you think about that? Because change it to a Caucasian name, because I'm thinking, I'm thinking about changing my name to Bob Toe.
The one called Smelly Hippie is right.
And now,
AM radio is a viable and modern source for news and entertainment.
Totally.
I used to be number one in this town, but people don't listen to AM like they used to. Seems like it's more about FM and color TV.
That's stupid.
It sure is, Kevin.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 29th of March. How is everybody?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Let me hear you talk a little more.
Oh, no, it's fine.
It is. Okay.
It dips in and out.
Okay.
It's like a fun game.
It is, right.
What word was missing?
You have no control over it whatsoever.
I don't at all.
That's
good
not
times.
Ideal.
It's fine.
Right.
Great.
I know.
Stop yelling.
I mean, I'm not following up with any other questions.
It's okay, Kevin.
Right.
Thanks for asking.
So you feel good.
Yeah.
You know when you go to a party and you can't drive home, so you have to call an Uber?
Mm-hmm.
This kid ended up with a $1,600 Uber bill. $1,600.
Because he decided to go across the country?
I guess it's kind of embarrassing.
Let's start with the good news in this story. Kenneth Bachman of Sewell made it back home safe to Gloucester County from a party on Friday. The bad news? That party was in Morgantown, West Virginia.
I was just like, what's good? Like, that's crazy. Like, why did you agree to, like, take me to New Jersey from West Virginia? Like,
Kenneth.
So he lived in New Jersey, but he was in West Virginia having a party. And the answer to why did you agree to it, I'm assuming, is you opened your Uber app.
And put in those addresses.
And you put in where to.
Yeah.
And then the guy accepted and said, okay. And I think that's pretty much how it goes.
Right.
So my favorite thing about that story is that he starts off the interview by asking the Uber driver, what's wrong with you?
Right.
So that's kind of ridiculous.
Not on him.
Right.
Had been out with buddies near the campus of West Virginia University when he says he wanted to call it a night. So he ordered an Uber ride, which he doesn't quite recall doing, and then fell asleep.
And I just woke up in the Uber next to a older dude just like telling me I was an hour out from Jersey.
And once he made it home, the price tag of the blurry trip became clear.
It was $1,635 and like some change.
Huh.
How do you spend that much on an Uber?
So did he go to college in West Virginia, but his parents live in New Jersey?
Don't know for sure.
I'm trying to figure out what's happening.
Some of the other stuff in the story sounds like he might be moving to West Virginia, but he hasn't yet.
Okay.
But, yeah, $1,600. Now, that's not the funniest part. The guy is even more idiotic.
Kenneth adds that he accidentally ordered a more expensive Uber XL and had no choice but to pay the fare.
It would have been like $800, but it came out to $1,600.
It would have been $800.
Well, it was obviously very comfy because he fell asleep. So
he could have halved that just by ordering a regular Uber instead of an XL.
Oh, wow.
What a dumbass.
Yeah.
In West Virginia's unofficial anthem, John Denver sings, "Country Roads, Take Me Home." In Kenneth's case, they took him home all right, but he won't be here for long.
I'm going back to West Virginia this weekend, pick up my bags, and I will be there. So if you guys see me, say what's up.
In Sewell, New Jersey, Alexandria Hoff, CBS 3, Eyewitness News.
If you guys see me, say what's up.
Maybe buy me a drink.
Right.
That's cool.
Hey, aren't you the guy that had a $1,600 Uber?
I don't understand that.
I don't either. He was drunk and passed out.
Right.
And then sort of he didn't have any control over anything until he was actually there.
Yeah.
But that's funny.
Yeah.
And it could have been half just if he had ordered a regular Uber.
I will say this. I'm glad he got an Uber.
I agree.
So.
I agree.
Upside.
He got an Uber.
Sure.
And he got back home safe.
He sure did.
Right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Get this week's talk out of here.
We have April Foolishness goodie bag tickets, and we're going to do that in the 6 o'clock hour, about a half hour from now. So for those of you that have to get up early, we're going to play a game for those tickets. That involves a pre-VIP party. That involves a VIP pre-party and a T-shirt and a $100 Uber gift card.
I was going to say, now there's two parties?
Right. Does going to the movies by yourself make you a loser?
I don't think it makes you a loser.
It does.
But you're probably a loser before that, maybe.
It's just a sign that you've already been a loser?
Maybe.
All right. We're going to talk to Mama Muggs about the Dodger season. Today's opening day.
Yeah, people can't get mad at us.
Right.
It's, you know, opening day. She's not putting it or, oh,
nope, don't
she?
Even start. Don't even start. I don't want to hear it. She has no say over the Dodgers whatsoever.
Okay.
So last year in the run-up to the World Series, everybody's like, don't you put her on. And we were like, all right, take it easy. We won't. We don't want to jinx anything. So all throughout the playoffs in the World Series, we said nothing to her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she just probably would have said, told you so.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
Nobody wants to hear that at that point. She is the worst Dodger fan ever, by the way. Says she's the best.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be an a-hole in public is another topic we're going to cover today. Dr. Drew's going to come on because mumps are going to kill all of us.
Oh, no.
Mumps are back.
Yeah, are they?
I don't know. We were asking in the office, what? Are they the ones with the bumps? I can't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Turns out that's what it was, yeah.
Huh.
And also at 7 o'clock, we have Mike Shinoda in. He's got a new solo song ready to drop right at 7, and then Mike Shinoda will be here to explain, you know, post-Linkin Park stuff, solo tour stuff. He's announced a few dates, so that's kind of cool. And we're going to talk to him at 7 o'clock this morning, and we're going to do it at krock.com as well for people who stream. And we're also going to put it on Facebook Live for people who can't do either of those. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break and come back with what's happening next. 106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's 5 minutes till 6. Sally McKay is here with what's happening.
Well, I come bearing bad news.
Oh, no.
So early in the morning, and I'm sorry, but I feel like you need to hear it from me.
This is bad news.
Sharknado is coming to an end, you guys. Yeah, the sci-fi film franchise is set to wrap up with the upcoming 6th film to serve as the franchise's swan song. In true ridiculous Sharknado fashion, the final film will see the lead character Finn, played by Ian Ziering, traveling back in time to save his family. The 6th film will feature Nazis, dinosaurs, knights, and Noah's Ark. What?
I mean, honestly, that's really the only place they could go with that series.
Back in time.
It's been so ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. All of these ladies who have been in the previous films, Tara Reid, Cassie Serbo, and Vivica A. Fox, will appear in the 6th and final set. Yeah, sorry, sir. Set to air this summer. However, I read this online and I laughed so hard at a tweet under the story from a guy named Joel C. High that said, "Please, I worked on 7 Leprechaun movies. 6 Sharknados ain't even trying."
I had the opposite response, which was, "I didn't know they already did 5.
I know. I thought 3.
Yeah, say, well, I thought maybe there was a 4th that I ignored, but I sure didn't know that they did 5.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And speaking of Vivica A. Fox, this is an interesting idea for a show. She's going to host a new show called Face the Truth. It's a conflict resolution show, which will air on 10 CBS-owned stations this year. What's going to happen is they're going to have guests on talking about their problem and a panel of experts who will give them constructive feedback. And then the studio audience will vote on who's at fault in the situation. Do we really need a studio audience that is going to see a taping during the day to vote on who's at fault?
So it's like a crowd Judge Judy?
It's like a crowdsourced Judge Judy, yeah. But panelists for the show include Bar Rescue's John Taffer, also an attorney, a psychologist, and my favorite, an actress/life coach.
All right.
So, yay. It's a great panel.
I mean, we've already got Jerry Springer.
We do.
So, I feel like that covers it.
Right.
We've got Jerry Springer on one side. Mm-hmm. We've got Judge Judy on the other.
All right.
I don't know that there's room for this one.
But crowdsourcing.
But
who's
then
at fault?
But then the crowd will start arguing with each other.
All-out brawl.
So and maybe then someone in the corner will be like, look at my boobies, like on Jerry Springer.
Right,
pull her shirt
so.
Up. I mean, that's just good stuff. And in case you're waking up and you're like, oh, I just don't like the way the day's going so far. You are not the guy in England that has the worst ever super gonorrhea.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
Public officials in England have identified a case of, quote, worst ever super gonorrhea. The man who has it is from England, has a steady partner in the country, but got the disease from an Asian woman that he hooked up with in Southeast Asia.
Oh, man.
The main antibiotic hasn't been able to treat the superbug, and both the CDC and World Health Organization have been put on notice. They're now trying to find any sort of antibiotic that will work on this, but... Congratulations, sir. It sounds like you cheated on your partner and got worst ever super gonorrhea.
Super gonorrhea.
Super gonorrhea.
Not cool.
Is gonorrhea the one that they have to go in through your...
I don't know, and I hope not, because that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, like a cotton
right.
ball right in there, and they're
right.
like... Meow, meow. Oh, man.
I can't bring myself to think about that this early in the morning.
No? Okay, I'll talk about it again. Probably around 8.
Okay, good.
Does that work for you?
Sure, that's much better.
Okay, some birthdays for you. Singer Perry Farrell, Monty Python's Eric Idle, and actress Lucy Lawless. And...
Kev Dog!
Kev Dog!
The most important birthday
Please.
Of all time. Kevin! Doggy Dog Rider. How do you feel today?
Just like I did yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But, like, more spry? You're like,
sure.
This is my year?
A lot more energy, sure.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Just
like
jumped
this.
Out of bed?
Yep.
Wow.
This is my year, I said this morning.
What are you planning today? Anything big?
Going to a Kings game.
Okay.
It's the end of the season. It's important. That's
it is
how
a
I'm
very important game.
Yeah.
Okay. Any strawberry ice cream?
Of course. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, that's every day.
Okay.
But, yeah.
An opening day on your birthday, the guy that loves baseball as much as you?
I mean, I'm going to have to pass on that. Unfortunately, you know how badly I would like to be there.
Sure, but you had the plans already to go to the Kings game.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Liar.
Let me think. Opening day baseball.
Not cool.
Right down to the very wire trying to get into the playoffs. Hockey.
Hmm.
Hmm. Kings. Sorry.
What if it was opening day baseball and... they were just airing a Olympic hockey game.
Well, I'd watch hockey.
Okay. And that's what's happening.
We do have tickets for those of you that have to get up early. For Kevin and being sold out April Foolishness, we got a pair of goodie bag tickets to the sold out show. You get access right up front. You get access to the pre-show VIP party at Microsoft Theater this Saturday. You get a $100 Uber gift card. And we're going to play a game in about 10 minutes. What?
Okay.
Did I say something wrong?
No.
Okay. In about 10 minutes, we're going to play
Kevin,
a game.
Kevin, we just like to look at you.
No, you don't. Not like that.
Okay.
Every time I screw up, everybody turns and looks at me like, something's really wrong.
No, you're doing great.
And you're right. Something's
doing
really
great.
Wrong.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Things are going good.
Thanks. So we're going to do that in about 10 minutes. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. It is 608. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. 21 minutes after 6 o'clock. We've got tickets for you right up front for April Foolishness. It's a goodie bag section, so you get to sit right up front.
Mm-hmm.
You also get the VIP pre-party, and you get a T-shirt, and you get a $100 Uber gift certificate.
Nice.
All of that. We're going to play a game right now called Total Recall.
Total Recall. That's the game that we play. If you want tickets to Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. That's what you will win. All you have to do is recall. Oh, yeah!
All right, so you're going to have 10 seconds to name five things.
Yeah.
That's how this game goes.
It's not easy.
It isn't. And a lot of people that say this one sounds easy on
yeah.
the when you're in the middle of it and you're rushing
right.
and you're trying to get it in before 10 yeah. seconds, it's a lot of stress.
I will say this. I've played it in my car.
Uh-huh.
Just yelling things out.
Mm-hmm.
Super easy.
Sure.
No. Once you're on the phone freaking out, not easy.
So Allie will ask you the question. And then when she says go, we'll start the clock and you will have 10 seconds to name five things. That's how this works. Let's start with Sergio in Alhambra. Hi.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We are good. How are you today?
I'm good. This is my third attempt.
Oh,
Sergio. Well, third time's a charm.
I've heard
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I sang a horrible song yesterday that you guys didn't like.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, we don't remember
should we,
it.
Should we have so. Liked it? Okay.
All right, Sergio. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, Gabriel Iglesias is a huge fan of VW buses. He's said to own more than 30 Volkswagen bus models and even built his own private Volkswagen museum. Besides the bus, in 10 seconds, name five other types of Volkswagens. Go.
The Volkswagen Golf, Chrysler Voyager, Passat, Jetta, Accord, and...
Oh, you had three.
Oh, no.
You had three.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sergio, but good try.
Fourth try tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Sergio. All right, let's go to Alex in Corona. Hi, Alex.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How's it going?
It's going well. Good. Thank you for listening and holding. Are you ready?
Ready as I'll ever be. Let's go.
All right, Alex. Brad Williams is as tiny as he is funny. He was born with a type of dwarfism. In 10 seconds, name five of Snow White's seven dwarfs.
Bashful, sneezy, sleepy, dorky. No.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Maybe you were thinking of Dopey.
Dopey.
Yeah.
Is that a dorky?
Or smoky.
Yeah.
Or smoky. Sure.
That's the updated version.
Thank you, Alex, for playing. All right. That makes you feel bad, right?
It really does.
Javier in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Are you ready for a Total Recall? By the way, Ali, you have to say go. You didn't say go last time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A little problem.
Okay.
All right. No worries.
All right.
Okay, here's your question.
Okay, Sarah Tiana is a huge sports fan. She's from Georgia and loves the Braves and the Falcons. In 10 seconds, name five other types of birds. Go.
Eagle, there's a vulture, there's a flamingo, penguin, freaking condor.
Yeah.
Pigeon as well.
I like it. Excellent. All right.
A freaking condor.
Javier, you are in the drawing.
Hold on, please. All right, let's go to Andrew, Long Beach. Sorry. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, long time listener.
Thank you very much.
All right, you ready, Andrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Doug Benson loves movies, so much so that he hosts a podcast called Doug Loves Movies. In 10 seconds, name five other podcasts. You can either name the name of the podcast or the people. Go.
BBC One Radio, Beast Radio, blanked out.
It happens. I know I hate it.
I would have taken the Volkswagen one because I have a 65 bug myself.
I mean,
sorry.
Kevin and Bean?
You could have said podcast? Kevin and Bean.
I know.
It happens, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew, for the call. All right. That's what happens. That's that 10-second thing. All right, let's go to Ishmael in Southgate. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi. Are you ready for your question?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right. Adam Devine is probably best known for Workaholics or Pitch Perfect, but my favorite role was Haley Dunphy's ex-boyfriend Andy on Modern Family. In 10 seconds, name five famous people named Andy. Go.
I'm blanked. I blanked out. And Andy. Sound like nobody.
Zero.
All right. Andy Warhol. Andy Samberg. I mean, Andy Dalton. Milanakis.
I gotta be honest. Is that the first time zero? Don't call him names. He was trying.
Andy Dick.
Oh, Andy
one
Dick.
Of the,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ishmael. Sorry. All right. Let's go to. Have we ever had zero?
I don't know.
I don't think so. Manny, hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good, thank you. You ready for your question?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Manny. Brian Callen is half of Fighter and the Kid, a podcast he hosts with Brendan Schaub. He can also be seen on the Goldbergs as a gym teacher / coach. He wears way too tight shorts. In 10 seconds, name five activities you would do in PE class. Go.
Dodgeball, football, tennis, swimming, jumping jacks.
Excellent.
Look at that. Nice.
All right.
That was time to spare.
Yeah, Manny is in the drawing as well.
All right, you hold on. Let's go to Roy in Glendora. Hi, Roy.
Hi.
Thanks very much for listening and holding. We're having a good day. You ready?
Yes.
All right, Roy. Speaking of the Goldbergs, Jeff Garland will also be performing at Foolishness on Saturday. Jeff was known for his role as Jeff Green on HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm. In 10 seconds, name five other things that are known for being green. Go.
Grass, four-leaf clovers, leprechauns, doors, trees, bushes.
What did you say? Stores?
Did you say?
No.
What did you say?
No, bushes.
No, but before that, you said.
Oh, yeah. I, just,
I think you said stores.
There are doors and there are bushes. I'm putting them in.
I mean, I feel like we have to let you in to the drawing.
Woo!
Nicely done. Hold on.
Thank you.
We have time for one more. Let's make it Richard from Pasadena. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well. Thank you. You ready for your question?
Yes, and thank you guys for my taxidermy rat. It is awesome.
Oh, Richard. That thing's the worst.
We were giving away our crap one day, and he won it. I love it.
Yep.
I'm glad it's out of here.
The mother-in-law loves it. It's on a shelf, and it gets a ribbon for every holiday.
Oh, God.
I love that it's found such a loving home. We ran out of interest in it, so...
All right, Richard, this is the 10th annual April Foolishness. In 10 seconds, name five things you would find at a 10-year-old's birthday party. Go.
Balloons, bounce house, cake, ice cream, and a princess entertainer.
There you go.
That's pretty good.
Excellent.
Pretty well done. Hold on, all right? All right, so we have Javier, we have Manny, we have Roy, and we have Richard. Who is going to win the tickets for this? I believe we're going to do a drawing. Allie McKay?
The winner is the guy that came through with the green door. That is Roy.
Roy.
Wow. Yes.
Congratulations, Roy.
Thank you, party people.
We will see you Saturday night. And thanks for playing the game.
Total Recall.
Coming up at 7 o'clock, we've got Mike Shinoda. And people from all over the world, some of the Linkin Park fans, are asking how they can listen. And we're going to do it on Facebook Live to make sure that everybody can see that. So if you can't stream it online at krock.com/listen, you can watch it on Facebook Live. All right. There's an opinion piece where the headline is opinion. You should probably go to more movies by yourself.
Now, wrong.
I'm sorry?
Wrong.
Now,
it's an opinion, but it's wrong.
Now, here's my thing about this. I've gone to a lot of movies by myself, and the reason is I have bad movie tastes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you walk around, and hey, who wants to see so-and-so? Who wants to see such-and-such? And no one. So you go, all right, cool, go by myself. There's a little voice in the back of my head that says loser, a little.
Okay.
Sure.
But I'm all right with that.
All right.
Because that happens to me a lot, so no worries. Chip?
I actually go alone by myself, or alone and by myself, all the time. Because a lot of times when you're trying to figure out schedules and stuff, everyone else, most of your time you're wasting trying to make the schedule work with everybody else. And
well, first you have to pick the movie.
Pick the movie, and then pick a time that works and a day that works. So it's usually like if I get off of work, you know, I'm done here by noon or one.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't want to go see a horror movie, usually horror movies are the ones I mostly have trouble getting people to go because
right.
most people don't like horror movies that mm-hmm. I know. So it's just easier for me just to pick up and just go when I want to. Plus, I'm a loser.
I mean, I think we all have to admit a little bit of being a loser.
We're
but
loser adjacent.
Allie, when was the last time you went by yourself to a movie?
See? I would say one of the last times I went to a movie was by myself. No, last time I went to see a movie with someone. That was fun. That was a fun journey through my head.
Right.
But I don't see it as a problem seeing a movie by yourself because I think when we were younger, and this article kind of talks about it, movies were a communal experience. Like, oh, let's go to the movies. Oh, grab a bunch of friends, go to the movie, because that's what you did. But then when you're older and your thoughts change on movies, what you want to see, the experience, what you're getting out of it, it's not communal. You want to go and actually watch that movie and get something out of it. You can have your truest experience watching that movie alone because you're not worried about the other person. Oh, did they like it? Did they not like it?
I mean, every theater does go out of their way to tell you to shut the F up.
Yes.
Over and over. Silence mm-hmm. your phones.
Yeah.
Don't do anything. I mean, so basically it's a solo activity.
Yeah. I think a comedy is different. I think you could go to a comedy with a group of people and have a very different experience than if you went by yourself.
Right.
But
what if nobody wants to go with you to the comedy either?
Like Brothers Grimsby?
Oh, that was gold.
See, we all went, and it was a great experience.
Right, but only because Chip went by herself, and I went by myself. And then we said, have you seen it? You're like, no, no. Well, we're going to take you. That's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
So both were good. And we took you during the day, so there was no one else in the theater at that point.
Literally.
So we were screaming and yelling and everything
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
Now, Dave, you said loser.
Okay, not so much loser, but it's wrong. You shouldn't go to the movies by yourself.
It's wrong.
It's wrong.
Define.
Because you want to discuss this movie immediately, and then you have that partner to enjoy it with and experience with and see when if you're going to see a thriller, you could talk about the parts where you got scared. If you're going to see a comedy, you could talk about the funny parts, the parts that made you laugh, the parts that made you cry.
Well,
and then who else are you going to steal Mike and Ike's from and snowballs and popcorn and all this stuff and enjoy a nice 2 hours with a person?
Get your own.
You can get your own.
Yeah,
right?
No, it's not the same.
And are you enjoying the person if both of you are being quiet and watching something?
Yes, you're enjoying the company. And then, because, you know, when if you're watching a suspenseful movie, like if you watch Get Out and there's a scene that makes you pop out,
right?
You know, it's fun to look at that other person.
Define pop out.
You know, like when someone.
The popcorn game. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
I think it's a different kind of movie.
When someone pops out of you know, like a suspenseful situation.
A jump scare.
Yes.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah. And then, you know, you get to see, look at that other person and like acknowledge what a great scene that was. And it's more refreshing than just sitting there going, hey, everybody. Yeah, that was great. You know, it's just an experience with people. It's so much better than going by yourself.
All right, let me back up. I like going to big movies that people are anticipating. I don't want to see a screener because those are all seems like a lot of industry people and whatnot. I do like to go opening day because I know that everyone in that theater is really jacked to see that movie.
Uh-huh.
And that energy, that positive energy really works.
Yeah, and
I can still go by myself.
Yeah, but wouldn't you rather know someone and then you could talk about it right after?
What?
And then on the way home, you could discuss it and you don't have to wait for anybody to watch it on their time.
I mean, you're not going to a movie and then moving out of the country. You still have friends
and still
that
have
you go
memory,
home to.
So if people see it a couple days later, you can still discuss it.
No, right. Too late. Because then you know, people are spoiling it online and that way you could discuss it immediately. It is so much better seeing a movie with a partner or a person.
How
or
does Dave get people to go with him?
Right?
Yeah. Well, I'm likable, so, you know.
That's a good point. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53. Mike Shinoda is here. We will play some new music from him straight up 7 o'clock, and then we will talk to him about some solo music coming up in just a few minutes. First, Allie is here with a look at what's happening.
Remember when we had Jack Antonoff in New York City? Came in.
Loved
and
him.
He was so funny.
Yep.
Just a wealth of knowledge about so much. He's such a fan of music, and it was just so impressive to see him just talk about what he loves. Well, there's more allegations against R. Kelly, which you think, how can there be more? And there are.
This seems to be a never-ending stream with R.
Oh.
Oh, no.
I mean.
That was not intentional.
Are you sure?
It was, I don't know, maybe it was subconscious.
Subliminal?
But yeah.
Subconscious? Sure.
Yeah, it does seem to have not ended since 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
And he still is putting out music and people are still going to shows and stations are still playing him.
Doesn't seem to be hurting him at all.
Which is insane to me. Well,
he's the Donald Trump of music.
I mean, it's nuts. Well, Jack Antonoff wound up tweeting something yesterday that he has since deleted, but there are screen grabs. He tweeted, "I hope my label drops R. Kelly. I've discussed it with them a number of times."
Wow.
His label is the same as R. Kelly's.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll soon see if they come out and say what's going on. But it's interesting that it takes him to speak up about it when everyone else has been pretty much silent about what has been happening with this man.
And it's not one of those things where everyone's shocked by it. That everybody knows this.
No. But other people on this label, we'll just say it's RCA because it is, Lorde, Taylor Swift, others. I mean,
it seems like if they all came out and said it, they'd have
ladies,
to.
Why don't we speak up for other women that have been abused by this man?
Yeah.
I mean, and you could say allegedly. No, there is videotape of it that was played in a court. It's just sickening. But Jack Antonoff.
Good for him.
I heart you. Huge premiere ratings for ABC's Roseanne revival on Tuesday night. Good Lord.
I could not have been less interested in that.
You know who watched
it? Am I the only one?
Omar watched it and said the first, they did two episodes. He said the first one was pretty political and he was like, ugh, not in the mood. But the second one, he said, was classic Roseanne, the Roseanne that he grew up watching.
Yeah, I guess I never did watch it.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why I didn't
care. That's probably part of it. Yeah. Yeah. But I think a huge part of watching it was the nostalgia because people did love the show. But 18.2 million total viewers. Yeah, that's the season's biggest TV debut, beating out even Young Sheldon, which had 17.2 million, which I say to that, wait, what? Young Sheldon had 17.2 million?
That does seem incredible.
What's happening in this world? However, the only show to surpass those numbers was This Is Us, which pulled in 26.97 million. Of course, it was on after the Super Bowl, but still,
sure, you got
I
that.
Say to you, 26.97 million. Suck it. I mean, how do you, I could do a show after the Super Bowl and get 26 million viewers. But This Is Us is also an incredible show.
Sure.
Incredible show. This concerns me on every level. A new movie is coming out. Here, let me just tell you the cast. Frank Grillo, great guy. Mel Gibson. Mm. Naomi Watts. What? Mm-hmm. Naomi Watts. Annabelle Wallace. Will Sasso. Great cast right there, right?
Right.
It's called Boss Level. It's an action movie. New castmate just announced. Rob Gronkowski.
Yes.
What?
Come yes.
With the... And
yes.
The, oh, no.
Yes.
What's he gonna do?
Something
he's
dumb.
Something dumb.
Yeah.
Is he gonna dance? Because he's... Hope big so. On dancing.
Hope so.
Did you see when he challenged Shaq to a dance battle?
No, I did not.
There are not two worse dancers on the face of the earth than those two. And seeing them go, it, wow. Oh,
so you're
Rob,
saying wow.
Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, that's funny.
That's all I got. Some birthdays for you. Lucy Lawless, Perry Farrell, and Eric Idle from Monty Python. And the biggest birthday of them all, Kev Dog.
Kev Dog.
That's what's happening.
So 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and the man responsible for that song, Mike Shinoda, has joined us in studio. Hey, Mike.
Hi. How are you?
It's been a few days. How have you been?
I'm doing good today, thank you.
Last time I saw you was at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yes.
For that show.
Uh-huh. That was a heavy experience. I'm in much better headspace today.
I mean, I got to be honest, it was strange because when everybody went to that, it was like, what do we expect?
Yeah.
How is it going to go?
I was kind of surprised that so many people, I felt like everybody like clamored to get the tickets, right? The tickets went, they were gone before they even went on sale. And I felt like people almost like bought the tickets, went, yeah, 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 we got to go to the show. And then went, oh no, we got tickets to the show. What's the show even going to be?
Yeah, that was me. I mean, it wasn't oh no, but I really was curious, like,
yeah,
what
totally,
is it?
Totally. And it was obviously for every reason, super hard show to do. But just even on the fact that we normally, the longest set we've ever done really is like around 90 minutes. And that show was over 3 hours long. Of course, I mean, you know, we're talking about the tribute show for Chester. So it was like, we felt like putting a show, we wanted to do something that was almost like a way to bring our whole Linkin Park community together. Cause we hadn't done, there was no like public funeral or anything like that. So we wanted to bring everybody together in that way and just celebrate, you know, celebrate him and celebrate the catalog and the community.
Now, let me ask you about that just for a second. It's different for everybody else because everybody else has the experience where they learn to love Chester and are going to miss him and everything else. For you, it's A, your entire business.
Yeah.
And B, you're the one that has to be on stage and sort of try to help people make sense of it, and maybe you haven't made full sense of it yet.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's definitely true. So I think, like, you guys played, I put out a batch of three songs a little while ago, and one of them's called Over Again. Over Again.
And I love that song.
Thank you.
It's a shame. that it happened, but I love that song.
Right. Like nobody, you know, what I was getting at is like the with that song, I wrote the first verse of that song the day we were doing the Hollywood Bowl show. We were about to do it. And then I wrote the second verse. I wrote and recorded the first verse that day. And then the next day I wrote and recorded the second verse. And that's been kind of like, I think on the day that I did that, I realized I had been writing these songs and they were helping me navigate, you know, just emotionally, but also logically, like just helping me navigate everything that was going on. And there wasn't going to be, any clear answers to things. Mm-hmm. A lot of times that things we're just going to have to wait and see, and we're just going to have to go with the flow. But
you're never comfortable in that position.
It's hard. It's really hard. And especially to do it on camera, right? Like that's the part that like committing to say, to like, so it was about around that time that I said, you know, I've written a few songs and I think that what I learned from that Hollywood Bowl show was that just being, just sharing them, whether or not they were hard to listen to or whether or not they were, because some were going to be hard to listen to for other people. Some were going to be hard to put out. And other ones, like, they you know, I think they've moved away from that in terms of, like, you know, some days you just feel better.
Right.
A little bit better. So that's kind of what with the starting point for this body of the album that I'm putting out. It comes out June 15th. And it's called Post Traumatic. The EP was called Post Traumatic, but the album is called Post Traumatic. So the Post Traumatic comes out on the 15th, and it starts in that place. Like it starts in the dark, you know. It starts in grief, and it just like our lives. You know, we just go from there to wherever we go. Like that's what this music does. Like there's stuff in the beginning of it that's that way, and then like the song you just heard. There are points when you find yourself going like, oh, I can go outside and like have like a relative, I can have a normal day. Like I can, right. I'm not like confined to my bedroom or to like, you know, being sad about what's happened.
But like the song Over and Over.
Yeah.
Then
yeah,
all
yeah.
of a sudden you'd be having a regular day.
That is true. Yeah.
And anybody
sure.
that's lost anybody along the way knows that's how it works.
For sure.
You forget for a little bit and something weird or odd or strange reminds you completely and it all yeah. comes flooding back.
Well, I mean, for us, it's particularly, it can be really tricky because you can be anywhere and we could just be, you know, I often use the example of like going out to get ice cream because this happens, you know, you're out in like with the family or with your friends and then one of our songs comes on in the store. And for you know, if it hits you at the wrong time,
right.
like, it's really hard. Yeah.
It's a 16-track album. Does it take
yeah.
you on that journey? Is
kind
it done
of.
Numerically like that? You start grieving, then you're working through it?
Yeah, It starts. It's a journey like out of that darkness,
right.
and not into it,
right?
For
oh,
sure.
Yeah.
So like, I don't. That's one thing that for me, I want to make sure that our fans know is like to not be scared to go on the journey with
yeah.
me because it definitely like, I know where we all started, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that as it went on, I had some days where you have these like interesting little like realizations like. One of the days I realized, oh, like I've always listened to music that was like a little dark.
Right.
Like, just, I don't know what it's been. It's like, it's either dark in the sense of like Nine Inch Nails dark, or it's
sort
like
of mood, yeah,
yeah, or it's like just like N.W.A. Like it's, you know what I mean, that kind of like more funny version of it almost. Because they're like, you know, if you listen, like I don't think Eazy-E was actually running around just shooting people with shotguns,
right? Most of the time.
Most usually. It was usually a different weapon. I had this thought one day that like, yeah, I've always loved, that's just been the kind of music I've always listened to. And I haven't had life experiences that have matched the things I'm listening to sometimes. Like sometimes you listen to something and you go, I just like that song.
Right.
And then I realized, oh no, like now I'm like a member of this weird club that I don't want to be a member of. And I listen to these songs completely differently. Right. I think that's okay. Like, I don't think there's, you know, sitting in my shoes now versus sitting in my shoes like a year ago. I think that's, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just reality, you know? And
you said in one of your songs that, you feel like you're acting in a play that's already been written or a story that's already been written.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sort of the feeling, right?
That's the fear.
The fear.
It was more of a, for me, it was more of a fear that I don't have any control over anything. I think that's one of the worst human feelings. Like, if you feel like you're out of control, like, that's really where a lot of our acting out starts, where so many bad things about human beings, when human beings do bad things to each other or do them to themselves, it's usually because there's that element of feeling out of control.
Yeah, and fear-based completely. Yeah. Nope.
So without getting too deep about it, I think, like, just for me, I needed to feel like, okay, I want to have a purpose. I've got a skill set. I've got multiple things that I love to do. I've always drawn and painted for my whole life since I was like three. I've played music since I was three or four. And these are the things that I love to do. I'd do them. I'd pay to do them. Not only would I do them for free, I'd pay. So to be able to do that in a way that I know kind of helps communicate, or it almost like moves our narrative along. Like, I can tell the fans, this is where I'm at today. And it can be a conversation back and forth. I feel like when I've spoken to fans, whether it's in person or on the internet, I feel like that's been helpful so far.
Yeah, well, thank God it wasn't bowling. Right? Like, let's
bowl for one another.
I mean, I've always held in high regard people who can write a song, people who can take complex feelings and write a song and actually say it in a way that other people can relate to, because I don't have that skill. So you said art is something that you always turn to when you're trying to clarify things or get through emotional things or whatever. And I'm grateful that you have that skill, because I don't.
Thank you.
And it's really important to be able to find music that you can relate to no matter what you're feeling. And there's a lot of people who relate to the things that you're saying. And that art is an amazing talent.
Thank you. Thank you. I remember we had a day a couple weeks ago. I was shooting the video for this song that you just played. And
if you missed it, we're talking to Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park and Fort Minor, and now doing solo work. Crossing a Line is the name of the song. We'll play it again in about 5 minutes.
So we did. I decided from the beginning of this thing, like, I was shooting my own videos. Like, I was literally shooting them on the, you've got two cameras on your phone. I was shooting them on the bad one on purpose.
Okay, like, good.
That's what I
say when I take bad pictures and videos.
Blame it on the camera. I wanted it to have that feeling of, like, when you're, like, FaceTiming or Skyping someone. Like, it's just me and you. There isn't, like, some fancy camera in between. There isn't some director editing things. Like, a lot of the things, you know, the three songs I had put out before, I don't know how long it was, a couple months ago, were done that way. And then, so when we decided to put out Crossing a Line, I wanted to shoot the video in a way that was, like, not quite that, but was still very intimate, and, like, that I kind of had a little bit of, again, it kind of came to, like, a control thing. I wanted to make sure that the message and the feeling of the video was really what I was feeling. And so I said, okay, I want to go down to Sunset, where the band started.
I want to hold you right there. We have to take a break.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Mike Shinoda is here. The song is Crossing a Line. We're going to play it again, and then when we come back, you can tell us about the video shoot for that song, and we'll talk all about your solo career.
Okay.
As well, next. Brand new music from Mike Shinoda, the solo artist, called Crossing a Line. I'd like to welcome everybody that's watching on Facebook Live. This has to be strange for you, Mike. I know you've lived this life for a long time. But Mexico, Russia, Indonesia, Slovakia, India, Greece, South Korea, Turkey, Brazil, Italy, Poland, Portugal, Czech Republic. I mean, that has to be weird to you, knowing that people are watching this interview.
This last year has made me so grateful for all of these, the opportunity to do this and to get, you know, to put out music, to be able to record music, to have anybody care about it. Like, it's really, it's like a new life in a sense. It's special.
I imagine you get some support too during super difficult times, which you've had, from people on social media and everywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, you know, as I mean, you're a parent, like, you hear a lot, like, oh, you know, kids are always on their It's devices. Like we grew up in a time. I grew up in a time where it was like kind of in the middle of that, where mm-hmm. that came in the middle of my like as I was already kind of an adult. The parents who complain about, you know, young people being on their phones and being connected on social media and less so in person, I get that. I also have to say, like, through this experience, I've seen people connecting in a way online that if they didn't have that, they wouldn't have had the connection.
It's a different type of connection.
It is. And it's really, I think it can be really positive if they just have to choose to use it that way.
All right. Just before we broke and were rudely interrupted by me, you were telling us crossing a line, making the video.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's really that I needed as I was starting to go through this whole thing, like it's been a very personal process. You know, grief is a personal process coming out of that and just dealing with the various things that having a friend pass away and not just that, but also the fact that I had like it had totally devastated and disrupted my life's work. Like I built this thing. We built this thing as a group of six guys, and it relied on all six of us.
Apart from your friendship, it's also a business.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. It's also like imagine it's not just when you say business, like it's not just business. It's like if you're Picasso and you rely on somebody else to provide you with the whatever, the paints, the canvases, the place to do it, the whatever, and that is taken away. Like
right.
it's not just the living, like the making a living part of it. This is what I do. This is kind of like who I am, and that part of your identity gets shifted. And there's definitely a point for me where I said, does this mean that I'm not an artist anymore? Like, does this mean I don't have
those
a career
thoughts
anymore?
Went through your head
for sure. And I was like, oh yeah, does this, you know. Any weird thought you can have, any like self-doubt? It is, yeah, that's actually better, even better than what I was going to say. So
yes,
thank you.
Nice,
you
go, that's never happened. Thank
yeah,
you.
Thank you.
Mark it down.
I definitely had those thoughts often in the first, you know, couple months, especially. And I had I think as it went along, I realized, you know, that if I took the reins on it and I decided to just kind of go out with this stuff on my own, I could navigate this without having to feel like I was beholden to everybody else that had seen it a certain way for so long. Like I needed the freedom to kind of like just wipe the slate clean and say, okay, I'm going to just start with something new. And that's why I didn't call it Fort Minor. That's why I didn't bring it to the band and all that stuff. Like, and when I told the guys in the band that, I was so nervous. I was like, you know, this is what I want to do. This is what I think is right for me.
They were like, thanks, man.
And then they all, it was like a gang got jumped in. They just beat the hell out of me. And they were so supportive. They were so cool. They still have been. Like Brad sent me a text last night. He's like, dude, congrats. Like tomorrow's a big day.
Wow.
So proud of you. Like, and that's the kind of friends these guys are. They're good guys, you know?
So you go from that aspect of, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm doing this album. 16 tracks. Comes out in June. This is
huge. And we've
huge.
Never done an album that long. It's
right.
A long album.
It's like, calm down, Mike. I mean, right out
relax,
the gate, right?
Dude.
But then you're going to go on this tour.
Mm.
You're up there by yourself. That's a whole other vulnerability that you need to work through.
Yeah, I done. Okay, so with the shows, I had done a couple of solo shows in the past few years that were just like these little assorted Fort Minor shows. And it's totally a challenge. Like if you're up there with multiple people, you always have this, like in the back of my head, I'm thinking if I make a mistake that there's always the possibility somebody was looking at someone else.
Right.
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 But if you're up there alone, they are definitely looking at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
They are.
Right? And also just the heavy lifting of like keeping it interesting. So I'm up for that challenge. I want to start there. If it ends up not being, if I end up wanting to add, you know, other people to the mix as I go, like, again, I'm playing it by ear. I don't have nothing's written in stone.
That's
I have
good.
The stuff.
You're so open about it, and what happens, happens, and you're willing
yeah.
to adapt.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think for me, that makes it more fun. And that was even to go back to, oh, this is the long way of getting back to your
original.
Yeah, I was
going to say, I've given up on that.
No, I for a second I was thinking, like, should I even come back to that? But all of this, with all that context, things like shooting a video, I can just say, I feel like shooting a video tomorrow. I feel
you,
like...
matter of fact, you did that.
And that's exactly what I said. You know, we're going to shoot tomorrow. We're going to go down to Sunset, where our band started, where I started my music career, at least publicly. Visit those places, get in tune with like what that felt like. Gonna 45 minutes before I got to where I was going, I tweeted to the fans and I told them that if they wanted to be in the thing I was shooting, to come down to Tower Records parking lot in 45 minutes. And I even thought as I was writing it, should I say for a new song for my new album, because I haven't said that before. And I just said, yeah, I want to say that. And I just wrote it. Like, that's the type of thing that I would have, you know, if I was with the band, I would have to run that by everybody. It would be a thing to do we say this now? How do we, I don't have to do that. I just say, come down in 45 minutes. Let's meet. And we did. And we shot this beautiful thing. The video's up now. I think it should be up by now. For Crossing a Line, and it was all shot that night. The fans were there. We told these beautiful they were telling me their stories about Chester, about me, about the band, about themselves, and people showed up in their work clothes because it was I only gave them 45 minutes of notice. Yeah. This girl was there with wearing Magic Mountain. She was wearing her Magic Mountain uniform with her name tag still on,
and she was supposed to probably be there at that moment.
Totally.
So she's going to show up in the video. Yeah. That's not going to be good. Mike, can you stick around for one more break?
I can.
Do you mind?
Sure.
And I just wanted to point out, if you don't know for sure what you're doing in the future, I mean,
oh,
I'm really a good cowbell player.
I'm
just throwing it out there.
Nothing's written in stone. Let's right? we'll do a little
jam session.
A little jam after this.
Yeah. Right. Mike Shinoda is here. We'll be right back. We are here with Mike Shinoda, Linkin Park, Fort Minor, now solo project. You have written most of the songs for most of those other bands?
I'm
the primary songwriter?
Yeah, it's basically I'm kind of leading the charge on the writing thing and the studio thing. I've basically been our in group producer for basically the whole time, and we didn't even realize that that's what I was doing until the third record.
Right. Oh, that's what I'm doing. Okay.
I think it was Rick Rubin that said no, you're the producer in the band. And I went, I am?
See, that's why Rick Rubin is a genius.
Yeah, if Rick Rubin tells you you're the producer, you're the producer.
It was a cool conversation. Well, because, he's worked with so many different types of artists, and he said, and the conversation was revolving something around, I've worked with a lot of artists, and you guys have your own way of doing things. You're a pretty unique animal in terms of how you write and record a song. And I think for the record, I actually think that I think more groups do it that way now than they did at the time. At the time, it was more rare to kind of use your computer as a writing tool and as almost its own instrument. And now everybody kind of uses their laptop as your writing tool. So
when you start writing for a solo project, first of all, you decided to do a solo project just because everything was at a difficult point. You needed to express stuff and you didn't need a committee to try and help you. That was the decision-making process?
Yeah, the main thing is that I knew the things I had to say. Grief is a personal thing to start with. But then also the things I had to say were specific in some cases to me, and I had already been feeling the guys knew this, that I had already been feeling like I wanted to put out some solo music at some point soon anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I had been talking to them about Fort Minor stuff as far back as over a year ago. And not that I was going to do it immediately, but just that it was in my head.
It's still your interest.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so when this started, after I started making a couple songs, the part of it was just the catharsis of doing it. Whenever I've had something difficult happen in my life, I go straight to art. I go straight to drawing and painting and making songs. Even if the songs and art aren't about the thing that happened.
Right.
I just do it. It's even almost there's a limited, as an example, there's a limited edition version of the album that's available now. If you go on MikeShinoda.com, we've got the standard edition, and the next level up has a book. And part of the book has drawings that I've done that are that I did during the past 6 months,
mm-hmm.
8 months. And I did these drawings just outline style. And I realized, like, I could start to, like, flesh them out and color them or whatever, but I thought it'd be more fun to just give those drawings to the fans and let them color them in. Because that sitting and doing something like that, like, I feel like that's really – there's something meditative about it that mm-hmm. just feels really great. And for me, at least, it really clears my head. And so I wanted to almost, like, put that out there as a way to encourage other people to have that experience.
And how is that being received? Do people send you their version of it?
And it's, I mean, they haven't gotten them yet. This is literally the ad. When the album comes out in June, those will ship then.
I feel like, Mike, 16 tracks? I'm giving you a coloring book? Slow down. Relax,
that's so true. I feel so bad for, like, our...
And then the next level up, I walk your dog.
Ryan,
let me know.
Ryan in the other room, who has been with our management team since, like, the beginning, like, I will send him notes about... I'll send him, like, oh, and we should do this. Oh, what about this? Have you talked to this person? Like, at all hours of the night. Like,
yeah.
It's just, it's got to be... I don't know. I know that's my personality, and... I also, like, the other guys, like, I was joking about our drummer Rob, and in this whole, you know, everybody in Linkin Park is in a different, like, almost like timeline of, like, what feels good to them, like, mm-hmm. what they want to do. For example, Phoenix, he started a podcast. He really, like, one of the things that he loves besides music is golf. And he has a bunch of friends who are golfers, pro golfers and so on. And he started a podcast with his friend Brendan, who's a PGA golfer. And they have this music and golf podcast called Member Guest. That's what Dave's up to.
Yeah.
Rob, I was joking with him because, like, I was like, what is he up to? What are you up to? He's, like, literally left town and, like, he went on this, like, it was like a... like a vegan cleanse meditative journey. Like, I'm being a little bit facetious, but it kind of was actually that. And I imagine him in flowing linen robes.
Sure.
His beard has grown out to his waist.
Vow of silence.
Yeah. Yeah. Just he actually looks a little bit like Jared Leto in my head. Like a little bit.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
A lot just of capes.
Very handsome.
Yeah.
Very, lots of linens. And
all right. Let me ask this. Linkin Park.
Yeah.
Future thoughts. I know you don't know, but
yeah.
Thoughts.
Well, I'm waiting for to see what kind of reveals itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've looked at it and said, number one, first and foremost, let's not forget that Chester was like one of the greatest rock singers of all time.
No question.
Period.
Yeah.
And so and that's not just me as a friend. Like, this dude has a, you know, his voice is like, there's just nothing like it. And so just personally, I have to wrap my head around the idea that, like, I want to be able to get on stage and play a song of ours. I feel like if we do that and we just don't do Chester's parts and let the crowd sing it.
Right.
That's, first of all, very heavy that we did that at the Hollywood Bowl show. And that, like, felt like a million pounds sitting on top of your stomach.
It felt pretty good to me in the audience. It did.
It's interesting.
Could you do that for 90 minutes?
No, I don't know about that, but it really was, I think that helped in a way.
I know that
night.
That night, in context, that night, that was a very, those, you know, there were special moments like that. In looking forward into, like, what is the band, those questions have to get answered, right? And I don't have those answers. So I think by going out into the world and just exploring what's out there, hopefully I'll find some of those answers.
Now, speaking of Linkin Park and Fort Minor, what are your solo sets going to be like? You're headlining Identity LA.
Yes.
May 12th.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, thank you for remembering. I forgot. We just announced... that May 12th is a show. It's a celebration of Asian culture. It's going to be a show at City Hall in LA. It's also free. So if you come on May 12th, Identity LA is me, Jay Park, and Hotel Garuda. And the food is by Roy Choi, who I mean, so you're going to be well fed.
Lead with that.
Yeah. The headliner of the show is Roy Choi. I will be opening for Roy Choi. So that's going to be fun. And I that one might actually be different. I'm not sure.
Set list.
I know that I have. I haven't like written the set list. I haven't figured out exactly what I want to do. But I do want to start from the perspective of like doing it. Just doing a solo show. Like just doing a kind of a one man show. I'll probably do that. I'll do that at home in rehearsal and see how entertaining it is to me.
Right.
And take it from there. If I need a little more something in the set, then we'll add it.
And then you just announced on Instagram you're doing overseas. You're doing Reading and Leeds.
Reading and Leeds, yeah.
Late October.
Yeah.
August, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
So you haven't even started thinking about a set list for that or how
I've got – not the set list. I mean, I've got some ideas about how I want to present things, but I don't I haven't written a set list.
Here's the thing, Mike Shinoda. Take all of the time you need with this stuff.
No, I got to tell you. I'm happy to have new music.
No, absolutely. No, happy to have new music. It's so fun to see how excited he is about this journey that you're about to go on.
Yeah.
But for all the other stuff, it'll happen when it happens.
I'll just I'll totally take your advice and then show up on May 12th and be like, you guys, I'm here.
Let's just see how it goes.
I haven't rehearsed. Anything. What songs do you want to hear?
I like it.
All right, maybe not that far. Maybe not that far.
All right, Mike, we always love that you come to K-Rock and to the Kevin and Bean Show. We always really appreciate that. You and your band have been so good to us.
Thank you. I love being here.
And we feel like part of K-Rock is built on you and your band as well, so we appreciate that. Before we go, I would like to do 60 Seconds. With Mike Shinoda.
Let's do it.
So just rapid-fire questions. You give me whatever you can think of.
For the record, this is my like Achilles heel. This is like the worst. I'm the worst at this.
Oh, I'm happy to do it then.
I'm horrible at this.
All right. I sort of have crafted the questions just for you specifically.
Okay.
In most cases. All right, here we go. You used to love Pokemon. Do you have a new favorite game?
My son is playing Dragonwood with me.
Dragonwood. Dog kisses on the mouth. Yes or no?
Yes. Yeah.
What's the thing most people would be surprised to find out about you?
I can't touch my shoulders.
What?
In this direction? Like, I can't. My arms don't bend that far.
You're like a T-Rex.
Little T-Rex arms.
Have you ever been in a fight?
Yes.
Do you think it would be foolish for a parent to try and give his one-year-old son a birthday cake with no sugar?
Oh, that's foolish.
Could you text Jay-Z right now?
No.
Do you ever sit back and think to yourself, I really wish I had Brad's hair?
Yes.
You do, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What was the first album you ever got?
Might have been Licensed to Ill. No, it was Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi?
It was Bon Jovi before that.
That's it. That's all the time.
Wait,
we
Slippery
have.
When Wet?
I think so.
Nice.
Yeah. I got all those around like the same time. It was like the door open to like, you can get music. And it was like... It was, I know I got Beastie Boys' License to Ill and Run DMC's self-titled album and Bon Jovi, Slippery When Wet.
Wow. Awesome.
I mean, it really set the stage for everything that I do. Everything that I do.
That's very true. Mike Shinoda, thanks very much for coming in. We appreciate it. We're happy to see that you're happy and adjusting as well as you can.
Thank you.
We're happy about the solo music. We love having that. And we hope to hear from you soon again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:56. Mama Mugs is next with a preview of the Dodgers series. She's the worst Dodger fan ever, I think. She calls herself a fan. Mm-hmm. Maybe
she
the worst.
She just has no time for non-greatness.
I mean, she turns off a game if they get behind ever.
At any point.
Right.
Yeah, it's insane.
So we're going to talk to her next and get an update on that. Right now, Allie is here with What's Happening.
I need your opinion on this because I have my own, but I saw this tweet yesterday and it says, well, this is painfully awkward. Ronda Rousey misunderstands question, gets annoyed.
Oh,
so I'm like, oh, I got to check out this video. It's Ronda Rousey on the radio show Golic and Wingo. Okay. So it's Trey Wingo, Mike Golic. They do a radio show, but it's also they have the TV cameras so you can see her reaction as well. But listen to this and see if you think she misunderstands the question.
Let's go back and start with when you knew from the MMA, when you were done there, when you knew in your mind, I'm not going to fight anymore.
I never said that.
Ah, so there is a possibility that you could go back in time?
There's a possibility that I could go back in time? That's your question to me?
Go back in time and fight. Go back in the octagon.
I do not have the ability to go back in time, no.
No. Would you fight again?
I don't know.
I watched that, and I will say this about Ronda Rousey. I have done segments with her in the morning. I've spent four-hour chunks with Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm.
She has a really good sense of humor.
Yes.
She will bust your bees,
yes,
if you know what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
She has no time for jackassery. She turned straight heel there. That was her promoting the WWE and going, I'm going to F up Mike Golick right,
yep,
now. That's it.
As a guy, as a guy who has trouble asking questions,
yes,
that hurts.
It hurt you on a whole other level. But I was looking at the comments underneath this, and dudes were just getting in their feelings. Like, what a bad sport. Who is she to talk to him like that? She is promoting the WWE. You,
right,
see it cross her face, and you see this little glimmer of, he's mine. And it is the total heel turn. And it is amazing to watch, and more amazing reading those comments and seeing how many people just don't get it. Oh, I didn't even think about your
I'm
level.
Saying,
of,
no, but I love that she did that. That's,
yes,
awesome.
It brought me joy.
Sucks to be on the other side. That's all I'm saying.
No, I do not have the ability to go back in time. Oh, the joy it brought me. All right, some birthdays for you. We have got Monty Python's Eric Idle, singer Perry Farrell. Pharrell? Why do I keep doing that? Perry Farrell.
Perry Farrell, yeah.
That's weird. Because then I think about Farrells and I think about the pig trough, and then a lot goes through my head when I think about him.
Okay.
And actress Lucy Lawless.
Sure.
And
Kev Dog Eat Dog.
Kev Dog.
What is kale? Is that fish?
Yes, it is fish. We are giving you a kale cake today as well.
Thank you, Chip.
Happy birthday, Kevin.
Happy birthday, Kevin.
And that's what's happening.
Bugs, how does your mom feel about Rage Against the Machine? Big fan?
She loves it so much.
Wrong mic?
Test 1-2.
There you go.
She loves Rage Against the Machine so much, whenever they used to play, she used to be right in the middle of the pit.
Is this true?
Nope. Time to talk to Mama Mugs.
Mama Mugs, Mama Mugs, Mama Mama Mugs. She's one badass too. Mama Mugs, Mama Mugs, Mama Mugs. She hates the Dodger Blue. It's time for Mama Mugs. Give me some Mama Mugs.
L'chaim! Hey, Mama Mugs.
Good morning, Kevin.
It's been so long since we've talked.
I know, and a couple of things have happened since we've talked.
Okay, like?
Like the Dodgers didn't make it in the World Series.
Mom, why do you have to bring that
What's
up?
What's wrong with
Come
you?
On.
You're the worst Dodger fan ever.
Today's the first day of the new season. We don't want to talk about the last game of last season.
Leave the past in the past,
yeah.
Mama Mugs.
By the way, and let me also say,
just
made
saying
it
that we haven't spoken since that event,
okay,
took place.
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you, is that our fans revolted and would not let us check in with you once the playoffs started. They did not want to hear, I told you so. They didn't want to hear any negativity.
Yeah, right.
Made it all the way through to the World Series, a very entertaining World Series.
Let Mama Mugs get it out of the way. Just
okay.
Say, just say I told you so.
On it.
Just say I told you so.
Yeah. Well, no, I won't say that. It gave me no pleasure, believe me, to see them go down. And it took me a while to get over it.
All right, let me just say this. And I understand that 100% because getting to the World Series and losing it is a special kind of suck.
Yeah.
But wasn't it awesome to make it to the World Series and be in it and play
yes.
well during games?
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay.
And I was so hoping they could have won it a few times.
Right, but wasn't
World
I'm
Series.
Saying wasn't it great? Let's just for today, can we just focus on how great it was?
Yes, I agree with you, Kevin.
All right.
All right. And today is opening day, yeah! which is always glorious and exciting with banners and flags and everyone wearing blue and sewer leaks.
Yes. I was wondering if you're going to bring up the sewer leaks. They had to cancel the last game of spring training. Yep.
Right. They had to cancel it because people were sitting knee-deep in sewage.
I mean, I didn't see anyone sitting knee-deep in sewage, but it was all over the field. They were trying to squeegee it off, and that wasn't working.
No, and in the stands, too.
Oh, man. So that's a rough way to start. All right, listen. So it's Giants-Dodgers today, 4:10 at Dodger Stadium. You can watch it on ESPN. How do you think?
Oh, ESPN. Good.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Because Mama Muggs doesn't have Spectrum.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see. Yes, so it's on ESPN. Well, why? If you're a baseball... You're the worst baseball fan.
She was making a little jab.
Oh, yes. You were.
Rightfully so, because you should be able to watch the goddamn Dodgers in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Okay, agreed
with
that.
That's right.
Agreed with that. I thought you were surprised that it was on ESPN.
I was expecting to see it on Sportsnet LA.
Sure. All right.
But I'm going to be busy that time.
Wait a minute. What are you doing that is more important than the first Dodger game of the year?
I'm having a manicure.
Mama Muggs!
You're the worst Dodger fan ever.
Did you not plan this out, or did you plan this on purpose?
No, I accidentally planned it this way.
Okay.
I didn't realize that it was, I mean, I knew it was the first day.
And let me just clarify and see if I understand. There's no possible way of moving a manicure.
No, not with my manicure.
Okay, all right.
She is. But I'm going to be taping it, so when I get home, I will see it.
All right, now, when you're watching a taped game and the team falls behind, do you stop watching that?
Well, I may.
Yeah,
I may. You know, my track record is not good with that.
That's my favorite thing about you, because as a fan of a sports team, you're robbed of all of the amazing comebacks if you turn it off when your team's behind.
Yeah, I know. Last year we had a few comebacks, and I was in my bed sleeping.
And by a few, she means like over like 10 walk-off wins.
Yeah, was that the number? That's good.
Something like that. And, you know, I've given up on this because if you're – ever since the 1988 World Series, a Kirk Gibson home run, game one.
Which you were at.
I was 5 years old, and Mama Muggs and Papa Muggs are there.
And they made you leave.
They made me leave.
Before
the Kirk Gibson home run.
Mm-hmm.
arguably the greatest moment in baseball. She hasn't learned from that.
Kirk Gibson will be throwing out the first pitch today.
Not that you're going to see it because you're going to be getting a manicure.
No. Now, that's right. And a pedicure.
Let me ask you a question. Did you ever apologize to Muggs for taking him away from Dodger Stadium before one of the greatest, if not the greatest moment in Dodgers history?
Now that you mention it, no. We were enjoying our wonton soup.
Yeah. In Chinatown at Yang Chow.
So even hearing us retell it like that, it doesn't make you feel a little bad for your son?
Yeah, I do. Beer Mug, I apologize officially to you now.
Go. Thank you, Mom.
That's sweet.
That means a lot.
All right, so Dodgers this year.
Dodgers this year.
What are your
thoughts? We have strong offense.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We have very strong offense. Even Kemp is producing.
Yes.
Matt Kemp is back with the Dodgers. Puig is doing very well. This is all based on spring training.
Right.
Kiki Hernandez and, of course, Cody Bellinger and Seager, who had an elbow problem at the beginning of spring training. Hopefully he doesn't have that now again.
Right.
Now, pitching is the weak link. We have at the top of the pitching order, we have Kershaw and Wood, and they're consistent and they're good and reliable. And then we come to
I'd say some would argue great, not just good and reliable.
Yes.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Clayton Kershaw, the projected Cy Young Award winner this year.
Sure. Yeah, again.
Right.
And then, but then we have Hill,
Maeda.
Maeda, yep. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Ryu, who is totally unreliable. He looks good, and he starts pitching well, and then he gets into trouble.
But you got 162 games.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of time.
And three of those every week will be pitched by these three pitchers unless they get someone else.
Right, but it's very possible, I'm saying, that this happens in sports all the time. You have a guy that's average, but he's put in the spotlight and he responds well and turns it on and just becomes a star that season. Is that possible?
It's possible, but I don't think they've had a lot of trouble in previous years. So
I'm trying.
They're going to shine this year.
I'm trying desperately to cheer you up.
Mama,
yes,
Muggs.
Yeah.
When we got Kemp back, you were the first person I thought of, besides me, because he's handsome and I wanted him back for sure. Were you happy?
What? I'm sorry, what?
Were you happy?
Oh, I was very happy.
Okay.
I was really sad when he got traded.
Right.
I was mad and sad and really angry.
But when he came back, you were happy.
I was very happy.
All right, let's hold him right there.
Whoa.
Hold on. So you were happy at that moment?
Yes.
We're done.
Yeah, let's leave it unhappy.
Right?
Excellent.
Yes.
I like it.
Thank you, Mama Muggs.
Thanks, Mama.
Mama Muggs, Mama, Mama, Mama Muggs, Mama, Mama, Mama Muggs. She hates the Dodger blue.
I can't.
What?
So assistant producer Christine comes in with Sloppy Joes.
Right.
And you said, like it was news to any of us, Sloppy Joes are one of my favorite things. And I'm like, yeah, we know.
Right.
And you gave me this look like, well, yeah, why would you, what? It's your birthday, of course. They got Sloppy Joes because it's one of your favorite
things. I know, and that was
things.
Very nice. It's one of my favorite things. But my point was maybe we should move it out of the studio because not everybody would enjoy the smell of Sloppy Joes like I do because it was my favorite food. That was just kind of my...
Right. Happy birthday, Kevin.
Thank you. So yesterday I was grocery shopping and minding my own business like I do.
Sure.
And I heard a guy yelling at a woman. And I didn't really know what was going on. So I thought, well, just I'm sure it'll work itself out. Keep to yourself. Don't get involved. And then the yelling got louder. And then I looked over and I saw the woman and she was trying to ignore him.
Oh, they weren't together.
Well, that was my first thought.
Uh-huh.
And then she was trying to ignore him. And I thought, still, my first thought was, they're in an argument?
Mm-hmm.
He's mad at her for something? Then I started hearing what he was saying, which was, your ass really looks great in those pants and stuff like that. And then I realized, oh, they're not together. They're not having a fight. He doesn't even know her.
What a creep.
He's just straight sexually harassing her. And then started propositioning her and offering her money to have sex with him.
What?
Yes. And it all takes a minute. Like, it probably was 30 to 40 seconds.
Yeah, you're trying to process what's
happening. Before I could even process what was happening. But eventually I was like, wow, he is straight, like, way being sexually aggressive against this poor woman who's just trying to buy food.
Right.
And she looked good. She was attractive, but 1,000% inappropriate stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was getting mad. And no one was saying anything.
Yeah.
And that was weird to me. So I took a few steps toward him as the girl turned, and I said, leave her alone. And he started yelling, and I said, shut the F up. And I was really pissed at this point.
Yeah.
Plus, I sort of knew I could take him.
Nice. Okay.
I mean, I didn't want to get in a fight.
Yeah.
But I rarely witnessed anything that overt.
Right.
Just right in front. And no one was doing anything.
Yeah.
So the woman left, just put her food down and left.
Oh, gosh.
And the guy kept yelling. And then he went to a cashier. And I said, why don't you get the F out of the store?
Yeah.
And he got out. And so I just posted that on Twitter just to say, you know, oh, I forgot the important part is he said, this is none of your business.
Ugh.
Once I started intervening, this is none of your business. Mm-hmm. And so my point on Twitter was, this is everyone's business. Everybody, you can't wait for authorities to be around to catch something like this. You can't even wait for store employees, really, because they're working and they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So if you see something, say something. I'm going to trademark that. Hold on. If you see something.
I think we
what?
We have that covered.
Oh, that's a thing. Uh-huh. So I put that up on Twitter, and I was really surprised by the response because there were a lot of people saying, I'm proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
and good job. And I wish everyone did that.
Yeah.
And I sort of felt like the only feeling that I had about myself was, why did it take me 40, maybe 30 to 40 seconds to intervene? It just took way too long. This poor girl is just standing there getting totally sexually harassed. And it took me forever to get it through my head. Oh, something needs to be done. And clearly no one else is doing it. So it needs to be me.
Right.
And I feel like that was the absolute least that I could have done. I should have intervened much sooner. But from the response that I got, it doesn't seem like people do that much at all.
Mm-mm. No. Well, we live in a day and age that people try to mind their own business because, one, you don't know how that person's going to react. That guy could whip out a gun and shoot you right in the face. Like, that's the world we live in today. And I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, well, why didn't that woman say something? Well, again, because of that. What is the quote? It's Margaret Atwood.
Margaret Atwood.
Men, I think it's, yeah. Men are afraid women will laugh at them. Women are afraid men will kill them. Like, it's a tough quote to listen to, and people will say, well, that's a bit ridiculous. It's not.
In this particular case, I assume that's how that woman felt.
Yeah, there are situations where if a man is hitting on you, saying something to you, you're afraid to turn him down because that rejection can fuel something so much bigger. It is a terrifying world that we live in right
now. But this wasn't even him trying to come on to her. This was just straight sexual harassment.
Yeah, this saying is things way aggressive.
He wasn't trying to make conversation. Nothing.
Well, you don't know what happened before that. Maybe he had gotten past that point and now it was just
I don't know.
Straight aggression.
I don't know. But what I would like to do is, because I can't imagine that no one else has done something like that. That's absurd. There are people who go out of their way to help others.
Absolutely.
And those people need to be celebrated. And it shouldn't be a big deal that anyone does it. That should be what happens. We take care of each other.
Yeah, for sure.
And sexual harassment is really, it is everyone's business.
Yeah.
And we're such a bigger force if all of the people try to step in instead of waiting for authorities.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is open the phones at 1-800-520-1067. And I want to take stories from people who have had this situation happen to them and a stranger stepped in and helped them. Mm-hmm. Because I'm sure they're out there. And they need to be celebrated. And the stories need to be told. Mm-hmm. And that needs to encourage other people to understand that, unfortunately, especially now in this world, it's time to intervene if you see something going on. Whereas before, you could sort of ignore that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The world has moved past that. So if you were ever helped by a stranger, you didn't know the person, but they stepped in and they had your back, or they helped you in some way, it doesn't have to be the exact same situation.
Yeah.
Any type of situation, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll take your calls next. We're taking calls from people who a stranger helped. Stranger helped you. Something was going on, and somebody who didn't know you stepped in and did something that helped you out, because those people are out there, and I sort of think we need to get the message out there that more people need to start acting that way now.
Absolutely.
It sucks, but more people need to really be paying attention and then intervening if you have to intervene. Let's start with Marissa in Costa Mesa. Hi, Marissa.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Thank you. One time I was on the bus, and there was this lady who was sitting, like, against the window. It was, like, where there were two seats. And there's this guy sitting next to her who was harassing her, calling her all kinds of names. Why are you being so stuck up and all this stuff? And she was trying to ignore him, but he was berating her. So I told him, I was like, hey, buddy, why don't you just leave her alone? And he wouldn't leave her alone. And then he looked at me, he goes, who are you? Who are you? Then he starts calling me names. And he gets up and starts coming at me.
Wow.
And so then all these guys in the back, like, just rushed towards him and tackled him. Because it was like, all of a sudden, I found myself becoming the victim, you know?
Wow. And that's so great. Yeah. And that's exactly what should happen. If they weren't already moving, those guys should be moving.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody was just sort of ignoring him, ignoring the situation initially. And I felt like I had to say something at the very least, but I didn't expect to become somebody who was a target.
Well, I'm glad that you said something, and then I'm glad that the other guys went after him. That's what should happen.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you, Marissa, for the call. I'm glad you're okay. Thank you. All right. Let's see. Let's go to Joanna in Paramount. Hi, Joanna.
Hi. So my story is kind of goes like this. We were in the train going to downtown, like, with my husband, and there's like a high school girl sitting down there, and this guy is just harassing her and, you know, telling her names, and no one's doing anything. So my husband just stepped in, you know, and I'm like, yeah, you know, if anything, I have your back. I have water, you know. And he, you know, totally like, hey, dude, like, leave her alone. Like, she can be your little sister, you know. And he starts talking smack to him and, you know, so on, so on. Then all of a sudden, like, you know, like the train stops and the guy gets off and the little girl's like crying there, you know. So that could be my sister, you know. So I'm, you know, my husband's like that. So I'm, you know, proud of him. It wasn't me, but, you know.
It was your husband. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. I mean, you know, authorities can't be everywhere. So you got to see stuff and do stuff. And it seems like a lot of people are doing that, but more need to be encouraged. Jordan is calling now from West Covina. Hi, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Well, my story was about a year or two ago, and this is actually a story of we helped somebody else, a friend of mine and I.
Good.
And we were at Comic-Con. We were heading on the trolley back to the convention center, the public tram.
Right.
And it was probably around midnight, and so my friend and I are sitting there, this other lady sitting by herself, and this other, you know, very sketchy-looking guy, and he's just, you know, sitting in the seat behind her, harassing her, you know, trying to get her to go with him, all this stuff. And she's just, and then she was actually defending herself. She was like, hey, leave me alone, you know, I don't want to do this. And then, so she kept moving seats, and every time she moved, he would follow her. And so eventually it got to the point where we got to our stop, and I was looking at my friend, I was like, you know, maybe I think we need to do something. So it turns out she was getting off where we were getting off. And then she gets up to get off, and he gets up too. And then we're like, so I looked at my friend, I was like, all right, dude. So we walked over, and both of us are these, you know, skinny white guys who can't do anything. But,
right.
You know, instinct took over. So we were just both, we both looked at him, we're like, dude, you need to either stay on the tram or get off on the other side and go the other way. This is not, like, this needs to go, this needs to stop. And he just kind of looked at us and ignored us. And so we started walking with her toward the exit. And then he just kind of lingered, but, you know, slowly kept with us. And then as we got off, he did end up going the other way, and he took off. And then, you know, the other girl was like, thank you. You know, I didn't know what I was going to do if he followed me any further. So, you know, we're just kind of glad it worked out.
It's scary to me that people don't think the way that you think. It's scary to me that that doesn't happen for every girl that's being harassed like that. And it would be a lot better world if people would act like you did. Congratulations, Jordan. Thank you.
Thank you. Anytime.
All right. Let's go to, let's see. Let's go to Mark. Mark, hey, in Huntington Beach. Hi there.
Hey, party people.
Hi.
Yeah, really easy. 1996, I was on the 5 freeway on a motorcycle. Some lady crossed the carpool lane and hit me. Oh. And I flew across the freeway in the middle of the 5 and the 170 at 4 o'clock.
Oh, my
Some
God.
Guy stopped his car, got out, and stood over me for 20 minutes until an ambulance got there. I was a
conscious.
I was in a wheelchair for 2.5 years, and but the guy saved my life, and in the police report, it was only ever identified as an unidentified black male. Don't know the age, so I could never track him down. I tried for 10 years.
Oh,
but,
man.
But if you for every reason, you saved my life, dude. Thanks a lot.
Wait, wow. This was where and when again, Mark?
It was on the 5 and the 1, you know where the 5 and the 170 interchange is?
Yeah.
I was on my way to Northridge, and it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was just cruising along. I don't remember the accident, nothing. Some lady crossed over the carpool and hit me in the fast lane. So wow. I just fell off the bike, and it tore me up. I almost died, but I would have definitely died at rush hour if that dude hadn't stood over my body for 20
that
minutes.
That dude's
and never even gave a name. Yeah, he never even gave a name. So,
That's
so
fantastic.
I just say to you, Mr. Unidentified Black Male, thank you.
And to all other males and females, step in and help each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. You guys are so lucky you're listening to that song.
Yeah, you are.
Not our conversation. We will take caller 20 right now, 1-800-520-1067 for a pair of tickets to see the Anaheim Ducks versus the Dallas Stars at Honda Center April 6th. Plus, you get two dogs and two beers. You got to be 21 or over. Call now. We'll take the 20th caller at 1-800-520-1067.
Go Ducks.
Good luck. Good luck. Allie is here now for a time for a look at what's happening.
Well, told you last hour about the insane ratings for the Roseanne revival on Tuesday. 18.2 million total viewers.
That's just insane.
Absurd. And then I mentioned that Young Sheldon had 17.2 million in its debut. And I thought, well, what is happening with those numbers? That's unbelievable. So I started thinking about all the different revivals. So you've got Will and Grace. You've got Roseanne. Amazing. And I saw an interview with Zach Braff. ahead of his show that premiered, I think, last night, Alex Inc. And somebody asked him, recently, revivals have become quite a trend. What are your feelings on someday revisiting Scrubs? And I seriously am, like, crossing every finger, every, like, I need that.
Same. Loved and have seen every episode of that. But don't you think he's been asked that too many times?
Well, here's his answer.
Okay.
And I was stoked. He said, we might do a TV movie. We daydream about that. We're all doing so many different things that we love, so the idea of going back and signing a long contract doing years and years of Scrubs is not on our mind. What's more realistic is Bill and I are very close, and we often laugh about what it would look like to do a two-hour movie, like what Psych did.
Love it.
And I say, Bill Lawrence, creator of Scrubs, Zach Braff, we are in three people in this room alone. Yep. That's three people.
That is a
that
total.
Will watch.
That's a total of three.
A total of three.
That's all we can promise you right now.
Zach and Bill, do it for us.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'd love that. One of the best comedies
I love
of all time.
Show so much.
I loved Scrubs. Whew, Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
So yesterday, we heard about Corey Feldman. He pulled up at a stoplight. He had security in his car. Security was wondering about a car next to him, three guys, and then while they were looking over there, someone opened the door and stabbed Corey Feldman in the stomach. Oh, he was stabbed. Go to the hospital. He's doing pictures. He's saying how he got stabbed, and this is so weird. And then the LAPD was like, yeah, there's no wound. There's no laceration. There's not even superficial lacerations.
I don't even know that I've ever heard of that.
So now he's saying, oh, it might have been a syringe. So it was just a quick little poke. So he said the situation was scary, and upon further examination, the conclusion was
it's fine.
Most likely a syringe. This is from his rep. Doctors did test to see if it was poison or a virus. And some have found Feldman's claims to be an attempted homicide quite dubious. And by some, most people that heard the story.
And the three of us in this room.
And the three of us in this room. And I'm going to add Zach Braff and Bill Lawrence to that. No, I am not. But what is happening? Was it a hoax? Was it to get more eyeballs on the fact that he's trying to out these pedophiles in Hollywood? Because that's who he says is doing this. They've been
right.
threatening him. He calls it the wolf pack, that they have been threatening him from coming forth and trying to out these pedophiles.
But I agree
in Hollywood.
With you yesterday when you said, hey, if you know about pedophiles in Hollywood, how about going to the police?
How about naming names instead of trying to crowdfund for a movie where you then release the names?
Yeah, so I find everything he says false. That's
yes.
just my...
Very, very shady.
Oh, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
Yeah. And I'm sad. Sharknado's coming to an end.
It's
we will
still a
have
thing?
No more Sharknados after the upcoming sixth film, you guys.
I don't remember where I was out. I'm pretty sure I watched two and three.
It was three that
I was out.
We're good.
Yeah.
We're good. Because the first one was so ridiculous. And people were like, this might be the most insane thing I've ever seen.
Right. It was horrible great.
Absolutely. Yeah. So then you watch two and you're like, all right. I mean, I'm still pretty in. Three, it was like, you're...
Was
nope.
three the White House?
Yes.
And the president
yes.
and all that? Sharks
yeah.
were going through the hallways somehow,
yeah, the Sacramento,
flying.
Not Sacramento Kings. What's his name? Mark Cuban. Guy.
Oh, Mark Cuban, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in it, yeah.
That was weird. But the final film, we'll see lead character Finn, played by Ian Ziering, travel back in time to save his family, because that's where he has to go, back in time, right?
Sure.
So, according to Sci-Fi's official synopsis, the sixth film will also feature Nazis, dinosaurs, knights, and Noah's Ark.
I mean, like it should.
As well, it should.
If you were to ask me what would make a good Sharknado movie, those would be the
those
ingredients.
Those would be absolutely.
Obviously.
The top things. So, I saw this story online, and then right under it was a tweet from a guy, Joel C. High, who said, please. I worked on seven Leprechaun movies. Six Sharknados ain't even trying. And I have to say, I respect that, sir. You are probably right. But six Sharknados, and it's all coming to an end
oh,
with the
shame.
Swan song. Very upsetting. Yeah. But I think we'll all get through it together.
I think we will too.
And some birthdays for you. We have got actress Lucy Lawless, singer Perry Farrell, Monty Python's Eric Idle, and possibly one of the greatest human beings to ever walk the face of the earth.
Right?
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What's 1207 in military time, my friend?
Say 1709? Huh?
1709?
What? Hold on. Well, Lisa? What? I don't know. I was thinking 22.
But I'm
but that wouldn't be 17 either, would
why
it?
Why would we jump ahead 2 minutes? Why would it become 09 all of a sudden?
I don't know.
That was a moment.
One of my all-time favorites, however, pales in comparison to this.
Come on.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It's weird not to cool. see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is to it must be, you know, infallible word of God or, you know, in terrorists. You know, situations or UFOs, you go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no. It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Is it weird that when I listen to that, I'm sort of rooting for that guy to get through it?
Happy birthday, Kevin. And that's what's happening.
We welcome, like we do on Thursdays, our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky back to the show. Hey, Doc.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Mumps are going to kill us. That's what's happening.
Well, you, not us.
Mumps are going to kill us.
Where's that music?
I'm waiting for it. Chip's getting it up.
Come on.
I jumped the gun.
This is crazy.
Mumps is making a resurgence. Now, we were talking about this yesterday in the morning, in the meeting, and I don't remember the last time I even heard the word mumps.
Right. It's been largely eradicated because of an effective vaccine. It's generally thought of as a childhood illness, but now we're seeing little outbreaks in, say, college campuses and places like that. And the reason it's spreading is, first of all, a lot of people aren't getting vaccinated, which is, again, insanity. But the other reason is the vaccine wears off as you get...
Wait, it wears off, so we might be susceptible right now?
Right now. And it's much milder in adulthood. It's parotiditis, your parotid glands, your salivary glands in your cheeks, they get inflamed. Sometimes your testes can get involved.
Oh, not my testes.
No. Not your testes, Allie, no.
Okay.
Allie's testes are usually pretty healthy.
They're usually engorged.
But you guys, you know what? I was thinking about this topic as I was getting calling in for you two guys, and I thought, this is not going to be that big a deal. It's just, and by the way, the CDC and other organizations are trying to decide whether there should be more widespread revaccination, which is an expensive process. And,
yeah.
You know, and people have little reactions.
Listen to Drew downplaying it like it's not going to kill us all.
I know how you like to scare the crap out of yourselves and everybody else, but I thought to myself, there's a much more serious thing coming, and I've been talking about it on my KBC show.
Oh, super gonorrhea.
Well, that's super gonorrhea, which is Allie's favorite.
Yes!
She's got a map out with pins. She's sort of seeing how it moves across the country.
Yes.
So, yeah, I know. That's a good one.
Hold on a second. I just want to make sure. We're moving away from mumps now?
Yeah, he's telling us what's worse.
I went away from mumps because you guys want to freak yourselves out.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a prediction that this summer, there's going to be really a very serious summer of infectious disease outbreaks. We have so many homeless encampments now. Each one, if you go drive by and look on either side of the encampments, you will see dumps. If you remember in Orange County, they moved away tens of thousands of pounds of feces and 15,000 needles, some of which went out to the ocean that you can swim right into, good times. But there are problems in this part of the world. If we don't have sanitation, we will have outbreaks of infectious diseases, much like the Middle Ages before we had... Yes.
Really weird organ.
That wasn't really good enough for much like the Middle Ages.
Here's the problem, guys. In this part of the world, in the summer particularly, we have vectors. The rodents, all the rats are on these dumps. They're overrunning the place.
Mm.
They have fleas. In this part of the world, those fleas have murine typhus, and they are going to get into our households and our household pets. It's going to happen, and it's coming to us. It's going to get to us. So I'm here to tell you, norovirus is in feces, and it volatilizes. You can breathe it in when you walk by the encampments. You can, you'll have rodent vectors coming into your community. It's going to be a real problem this summer.
What's
I'm
my vector
now.
Victor?
What?
What?
Rodent vectors.
What
fleas.
Is a, what does that mean? Exactly.
Rats.
Okay.
Rats fleas.
Hey, Dr. Drew, I wanted to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are we just, wait, hold on. We could be breathing in. Like,
norovirus.
Yes.
That's bad.
Yes, it's all bad, and which is why it's bad enough that we allow people to suffer on the streets.
Yes.
But when are we going to wake up? Are we going to, like, only when our children are having murine typhus, that's when we're going to go, oh, maybe we got to do something.
So Drew this is going to kill you.
So this is related, though. I want to talk to Dr. Drew for 1 second,
yeah.
because
mm-hmm.
Dr. Drew on KABC was talking about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he found an article or a book by an author, and he had the author on. And Drew was positive that the author was going to back him up on this.
Oh, and, no, it was a Northern California infectious disease doctor, and he was hot on the norovirus coming off the feces and everybody breathing that in.
Right.
He
and
did
you,
not know about the rodent vectors down
so
here.
So Drew was trying desperately to tell
yeah.
him about the homeless and the rats and
he
how they're all going to spread. And he was
know.
Not having any
yeah,
of it.
He didn't know about
and
it.
And he wouldn't play along. And
right.
Dr. Drew was like fighting to, they were like fighting to stay on the road. It was pretty entertaining, Drew.
Well, thanks.
Tell you.
I only want to do good radio that humiliates me. Thank you. I appreciate that. I know it's your favorite pastime, but here we go. You get it on my show too.
I'm just saying I loved it. That's all. I just love watching you try to steal the wheel away from the guy who was trying to go in a different direction than you were.
Well, he never even heard of all the stuff we deal with down here. My own son had murine typhus when he was in fifth grade, and it's a terrible illness, and we have it sporadically down here, but I keep
is
thinking...
Is it treatable?
Yeah, is
yeah,
there
yeah,
an antibiotic for
but
that?
You, yeah, but you still get pretty really sick with it. And we have these rickettsial diseases down here that are on the rodents, on the fleas, on the raccoons, on the squirrels, on the brats. And that's all overrunning these encampments now, and it's going to get into the community. It just has to. And so,
and you're saying by this summer, which is a couple of months from now.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm making a prediction that there's going to be a little outbreaks of stuff, and we're going to have to be really careful.
And what do people do about that? If it's coming,
wait for it. Let's help those people on the streets. Let's help them. Let's, you know, do we have to wait until there's a major sanitation-related infectious disease outbreak?
Yes.
It's so crazy to me.
No.
But in any event, be careful. You know, get the flea stuff on your pets.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a rat problem or even raccoons, and even the possums carry this stuff too. Keep them out of your yard.
Those are nasty little beasts, I'll tell you that.
No, it's the fleas and the ticks and things on them. It's not the bees.
They're nasty beasts.
What carry in upon them is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
See how far we've come from mumps? See how far?
Yeah, it's so much worse than we thought. We say, hey, Dr. Drew, mumps is going to kill us. And Dr. Drew says, no, it's not, but here's what is.
Yeah, that's what you guys want to use that music a lot. Go ahead. Here you go.
All right, we're out of music.
All right.
Doctor,
still on the radio?
We are, sure.
Okay.
You can follow Dr. Drew on Twitter, at Dr. Drew. You can also go to his website, drdrew.com. He's midday, Friday, Monday to Friday, noon to 3 on 790 KABC. He's on all different podcasts, the Dr. Drew podcast, the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast, Swole Patrol, the Weekly Infusion, and, of course, the app is Heal, where you can get a doctor in the safety of your own home, come in and actually help you so that you don't have to go to a waiting room
right.
and then get all of that stuff.
$99 all in if you don't have insurance, and insurance covers it if you do.
So, Dr. Drew, way to make everything worse. Thank you. Appreciate it. 106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39. Allie McKay is here. What's happening?
I would like to give something away.
All right.
Because we want to. It is the KROQ advanced screening of A Quiet Place at Arclight Hollywood on April the 3rd. If you haven't seen this trailer, it would behoove you to go and watch it because it is terrifying.
But it's scary.
This movie stars Emily Blunt, John Krasinski, and basically it's a modern horror thriller. Tells the story of a family of four. They have to navigate their lives in silence because a mysterious creature hunts by sound.
You are all going to die tonight.
If they make noise, the creature gets them and they are dead. So when their little kid drops his toy and they're like, ooh! Way to go, kid. Now we're going to die. Oh, it is terrifying. The movie comes out on April the 6th, but like I said, a pair of passes right now to the KROQ advanced screening of A Quiet Place at Arclight Hollywood on April 3rd. Let's give callers 20 through 24. You are all going to get that pair of passes. And speaking of John Krasinski, he was on The Office, a fabulous show, And one of my favorite moments with the birthday boy, Kevin Ryder.
How is this celebrating?
Who was asking Rashida Jones, wow, a really interesting question. It went like this.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
That was a moment with Kevin.
I mean, take me through that journey. What outside office? What?
Jim went to work at another office.
Sure.
And she was there, mm-hmm. and then she came on to the regular office.
Okay.
And I was trying to ask her about that, if she knew at the beginning of that, mm-hmm. that she was going to join the main cast.
Okay.
And I didn't say those words.
You just made it seem like there was a whole other office show that took place at another building.
Right. You could get that from what I said.
Okay.
Yes. You know what you can't get from what I said?
What
I meant.
That's not possible.
Well, that brings me to this. This is an interview that Ronda Rousey did yesterday where she, it's confusing to a lot of people online. She was on the Golic and Wingo radio show. I mean, that's a thing, right?
Like right.
Kevin and Bean, Wingo. Oh, wait, Trey Wingo. Okay, that makes sense. But I saw this tweet and it says, well, this is painfully awkward. Ronda Rousey misunderstands question, gets annoyed. And I was like, I want to click on that and see what that's all about. See if you have the same impression as the man that tweeted that.
Let's go back and start with when you knew from the MMA, when you were done there, when you knew in your mind, I'm not going to fight anymore.
I never said that.
Ah, so there is a possibility that you could go back in time?
There's a possibility that I could go back in time. That's your question to me.
Go back in time and fight. Go back in the octagon.
I do not have the ability to go back in time, no.
No. Would you fight again?
I don't know.
She understood the question perfectly.
She completely understood the question.
She's effing with
And
him.
She straight up went heel and
I
was
love
just
it.
Like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm here promoting the WWE. You're struggling, and I am just going to not let you off the hook. But people were in their feelings about this. People were, oh, what a horrible attitude. Why would she do that? She's promoting the WWE, and she did a perfect heel turn. It was amazing. But when I played that earlier, Kevin said, I just was really rooting for the guy. I understood where he was coming from.
Look, she did the right thing, but yes. I've been on his side where I'd make no sense, and then somebody... I mean, really, the thing to do is to stop mm-hmm. the interview and mock.
Right.
That's the right thing to do.
Kind of like what we did with Muse that time. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that at
you
all.
You don't?
I don't think we
were doing an interview with Muse, and you asked a question in front of Matt and Dom that you couldn't believe you did.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Do you guys have to sort of feel... do you feel the emotion when you wrote it later when you're playing it? And that was a poorly asked question. Let me take that. Can I take that again?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Can I just say it's a lot worse when you're looking into the eyes of somebody that's trying to
yes.
make any sense of what you're
yes.
saying, and you might as well be speaking a foreign language.
At least they're not one of your favorite bands. Oh, wait.
One of my top three.
Absolutely. But, I mean, of all people, Matt Bellamy and,
right.
and Dom. Dominic Howard, they can handle that and
agreed.
Give it right back to
agreed,
you, which
yeah.
is good. But then you think to yourself, at least Kevin can talk hockey, right?
Right?
Come on.
It's your favorite sport.
How
is
this? Tomorrow, Kevin? What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Friday.
What's going on tomorrow?
Thanks for asking. Friday Kevin and Bean Show.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Is that so he doesn't
it's
are you
common.
A regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
That was a moment with Kevin.
I mean, no one asked, but that may be my favorite of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's pretty good.
It's short,
yeah.
sweet, to the point,
yeah.
and yet there's no point whatsoever.
What was the one about movie theaters?
Come on, what are you
I
doing?
I think that is one of my all-time favorites. It's your birthday.
Then, well,
just
so
let
let's
us
not
enjoy.
Play them then.
All right.
I mean, come on.
All right. Well, we've
Chip's
got
gonna
some...
find it and play it if she does, so.
We've got some good ones anyways.
Yeah. Well, I think people are aware that we have some good moments
this
with.
Might be it.
Come on now.
Let's hear it.
It might be it.
It might
she
be
says.
It.
All right.
It's going to be a winner
and now,
regardless.
It's time for A Moment with Kevin.
By the way, just for the movie theaters, there's not one size that fits all.
Yeah.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I was driving like, what? Wait, what?
Yeah. Any more requests?
Nope.
Oh, gosh, they're all so good.
I feel like we've used a lot of them, though. And they're burning. I'm afraid people are getting tired of them.
I don't think
they
are.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
They don't want to hear anymore.
Should we just end again on the all-timer, the UFO?
I mean,
I feel like we just need to end on that one for
like
Kevin's
we just
birthday.
Did that one.
We did do that one, but hit it.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is to it must be, you know, infallible word of God or, you know, and the terrorists.
Come on, you can do it, me.
You know, situations or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no. It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It's the only birthday that matters. Happy birthday, Kev Dog.
Thanks.
That's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Thank you, Allie and Chip.
You're welcome.
The SoCal Helpful Honda. Good morning and all new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, so we keep it 100. We've got the movie man, Russ Leatherman, talking about Ready Player One. And we've got Michelle Beadle on the show from ESPN talking about a new morning show that they're doing. Plus, we've got your tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. It's sold out. We've got your tickets right up front. And just one more thing to remind you of, the opening act, there are 10 finalists at kevinandbean.com or krock.com, and you can go vote now for the next 13 minutes. It wraps up at 10 a.m. this morning. And then tomorrow morning, we're going to announce who the winner is, who is the opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. So if you have time today, go to krock.com and vote, and we will see you tomorrow morning.